This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. This morning's Israel Report is with Professor Richard Landes. He is an Israeli historian and author. Professor Richard Landes, good morning. Thanks for joining us. You'll be interested to know that our last guest, Dr. Ron Schleifer, quoted you when speaking about Pallywood. So the last interview quite literally preceded you. I'm hoping you're well.
All right.
Let's talk about the way in which Israel and Gaza is being portrayed in the international media, particularly at the moment with regard to Gaza starvation. Give us your thoughts on how this is being handled and dealt with.
Well, excuse me. You know the expression Potemkin village?
Mm-hmm.
It was this Soviet village that was a total fake, but it was made to look like sort of a Soviet heaven.
Right.
And they would get people to come and take pictures of it and stuff. Well, Hamas has done the exact opposite. They have a Potemkin catastrophe.
Right.
And so what you've got is a bunch of journalists who are completely aligned, mostly Arab journalists, who are completely aligned with the Hamas message. I call it the Hamas narrative for infidel consumption. Namely, the poor people of Gaza are suffering terribly, and it's the Israelis who are doing it. And the job of the journalist is never to mention the presence or the activity of Hamas in reporting this Israeli inflicted catastrophe on the poor Palestinians. In the meantime, we're getting social media reports that are showing us cafes and restaurants in Gaza where these same journalists are having a great time. And we're shown pictures of fat people holding skinny babies. And it's just, it's one of the most astonishing forgeries, stagings in literally the history of, well, certainly the history of modern journalism. I mean, modern journalism is supposed to be professional, it's supposed to catch these things. And yet, what happens when you examine the way in which the media reports is that they have just 1,000 techniques for aligning with Hamas's message of dire Palestinian suffering. So we've been hearing for literally 2 years about an imminent famine in Gaza. It's never happened.
Right.
There may be some people who are starving there, but there are people who are eating well around the corner. So we're talking about the most corrupt, cruel leadership that is sacrificing its people in order to manipulate the compassion of the West into siding with the people who are inflicting this suffering on their people.
What I don't understand is it doesn't take a genius to see a really overweight mother holding a child saying, this child has starved to death. It doesn't take a particularly aggressive investigative journalist to ask the question, why are there 950 trucks of aid in Gaza, but the UN refusing to distribute it? Or why is it that Hamas never opened up the tunnels to people of Gaza so that their lives could be saved? But those questions are never asked. Why is that? Is that deliberate? What is it? Makes no sense to me.
Yes, I know. It makes no sense. So there are two elements involved here. One is the sort of general public impression, and the second is the way the journalists operate. So the public impression is you see these pictures, and, you know, unless you're a sadist and you like to look at people suffer, or you just revel in pictures of people who are suffering because the Jews did it, you look away. And so anybody who, it's almost as if to look at these pictures critically, to ask those critical questions, makes you a cruel person. How dare you question this narrative of suffering? You're belittling the suffering of the Palestinian people, and there's no doubt that the Palestinian people are suffering. So that's one level, and it's very hard to get past that. It's almost like the West has been mesmerized by this Palestinian suffering. The second is the journalists, and here I think we're dealing with a very serious problem. And it's a combination of, on the one hand, intimidation. In other words, Hamas is particularly brutal with journalists who defy its instructions. And you saw that in 2014 when there were sort of new crews covering the fighting coming in from India and stuff, and they had never been in Gaza before, and they see these pictures of, you know, Hamas rockets right outside their hotel window. And they have a dilemma, because they know that if they show these pictures, Hamas at best will just kick them out. At worst, will actually retaliate. And so the newbies show still some professional commitment, whereas the old timers, like the New York Times, you know, what's her face? I forget her name. She was the Middle East correspondent for the New York Times says, you know, there is no intimidation in Gaza. This is a ridiculous Israeli narrative. And so what you've got is, on the one hand, this intimidation, and on the other hand, over the course of the last 25 years, during which this kind of what I call lethal journalism, which is basically running Palestinian war propaganda as news, has been going on, the press corps has increasingly encouraged and socialized anybody who comes to adopt the post-colonial narrative of, you know, the Israelis, the last imperial colonialist fighters, last colonial imperialist entity, and the poor Palestinians who are the sort of third world indigenous population being crushed by Western imperialism. And so they buy into this, and then that literally maps perfectly as a secular version of the Hamas narrative. What you miss when you secularize it is that the Palestinians represent not the last form of imperial colonialism, but one of the earliest forms of imperial colonialism. And the fact that they can't tolerate an autonomous Jewish state in this region is a reflection of that imperialism. So here are these Westerners who think that they're anti-imperialist hooking up with the nastiest imperialists on the planet to assault the only autonomous infidel state in the Middle East. Which is crazy.
So, actually, as you were speaking, I popped over to BBC, I popped over to Sky News, and I kid you not, this is the headline today. Now, it's got a photo of a, looks like a what I presume is a Gazan child, a young boy crying, and it looks like he's trying to get something, you know, like food or something, you know, whatever it is. And this is the headline. One day to the head or the neck, another in the testicles. British surgeon claims IDF shooting Gazans almost like a game of target practice.
Right. And that is, that. First of all, that's an old thing. Chris Hedges did a piece in 2003 for Harper's in which he said, oh, yeah, they throw out toys, and then when the kids come, they shoot them and stuff. You know, one of the things that's happened in the last 25 years is that the West has literally, via the Palestinians, become a conduit for classic anti-Semitic libels. So you end up with these stories that are being told by Palestinians who literally grow up in a culture that is pervaded by exterminationist, genocidal, Nazi anti-Semitism. And then they recycle these stories, and then you get British, a whole bunch of aid groups. I meant to mention that earlier when I talked about the journalists, is that you have all these aid groups, and they're also aligned with this narrative. So this it's a British journalist who said this, or a British doctor?
It says, one day to the head, one day to the neck or testicle. British surgeon claims, IDF.
Yeah, British surgeon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
Dr. Maynard told Sky News he operated on boys as young as 11 who had been shot at food distribution points run by the U.S. and Israeli-backed Gaza Health Foundation last week.
Okay, so this whole thing about the Gaza Humanitarian Fund has been a really interesting example of just how wild these kinds of claims can get. So you have the Israelis and this Gaza Humanitarian Fund. You get footage from them that shows nothing of the sort, and then you get these reports about how, you know, Israelis are shooting up people and 20 died here and 90 died here and so on. And there's no confirmation for any of this, but the media runs it. And one of the reasons that the media runs it, again, aligned with Hamas, is Hamas doesn't want the Gaza Humanitarian Fund because it can't get those supplies. Mm. And it has maintained its control over Gaza by controlling the aid that goes in. And so what it's done is it's been able to mobilize the humanitarian organizations, the medical organizations, and so on, to back them up and to make these claims about what Israel's doing at these sites, which literally have nothing to do with reality. I'll look at this. If you send me the link, I'll look at the story.
Sure.
But my bet is that any evidence that they show, like the New York Times ran an article about how the Israelis were targeting people and literally had a picture of a child's skull with a bullet allegedly in the middle of the skull. There was no evidence from the skull of any damage had entered. There was no damage to the bullet. There's no way a baby's head would be able to stop a bullet like that. It was a ridiculous picture, and yet the New York Times published it, and the pushback was unable to dent the commitment to that.
It's just really remarkable. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah, we live in an age of not just misinformation, but lethal misinformation. We are literally, our journalists are siding with the enemies of our civilization. Our journalists are running the war propaganda of our enemies as news. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of mankind. Or if it has, it's been the end of the civilization that did it, like Troy, when it brought the Trojan horse into the city. You know, that was a stupid mistake. It was an own goal move. And that's what we're doing. And we're doing it. And of course, the major, major obvious target is Israel, but it's the West. It's democracies. This is an insane situation.
What I find also so disturbing is that you could always find somebody to say something. So it could be and we saw this in the UK earlier this week, where somebody on one of their programs or one of their channels said, we were taught at Sabbath school, as though that exists, to, I don't know, whatever it was, something terrible. And that becomes a talking point. Now, somebody, an insignificant person claiming to remember from their childhood about something that didn't exist, but claiming that this is what, and that becomes a news story.
Right.
So you could always find somebody to say something, whether they even believe it or not, is irrelevant. Right. And that's, I've noticed Al Jazeera doing this for years and years, but now this has become absolutely standard journalistic practice.
Yes. No, I mean, I think that journalism today in the West has reached a crisis point from which it either recovers and the West recovers, or it brings down the West. This is, you know, we look at the news media, we think they're professionals. They're professionals in their techniques, their use of video, their editing, their presentation and so on. But in terms of the fundamental ethics of the profession, amongst which at a very high level is the job of the journalist is to filter out the lies as much as he possibly can, that a modern professional journalist should not run war propaganda as news, even if it's from his own side. And here we have people running war propaganda from the enemy side. They're running jihadi war propaganda. And so, you know, if there isn't a look, you know, you mentioned that Ron Schleifer talked about Pallywood. If every news station does not have a team of forensic experts to examine all the footage they get for signs of staging and for signs of fakes, they can't do news from the Middle East.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do need to leave it there. I'm being told it's after 8. We do need to go to the news. But it's really, really been such an interesting conversation. Thank you for that. That was Professor Richard Landys, Israeli historian and author. Give me your thoughts, your reaction on 061-895-1019.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.